Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long for to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Off
my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious dreams of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again today, we come, Father, seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word, so that we can walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I got a little something I'm going to share with you before I really get into tonight's message. Thursday, I started services, and the message was on compromise. Well, we didn't get too far along with that, because the whole book of Daniel is mainly on compromise. That's what it's about. We only got through one chapter, these 12 chapters of the book of Daniel. But I do want to share something with you tonight, and you'll find that in the third chapter of Daniel. And once again, it's continuing along the line of compromise. Because we are not to compromise the Word of God, nor are we to compromise the way we live. We are to live every moment of every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us don't want to do that. The things of the world out here causes us to compromise. Our work. And most of us use our work for the main way to compromise. But is that compromise worth your soul to burn in a lake of fire forever with no ending and no way out? But once you go in that lake of fire, you're there for eternity. With no help at all. I can't speak for nobody but myself, but I don't like getting burnt, period. Well, we found out in the first chapter about four men that wouldn't compromise. Daniel and his three companions that was with him all the time, they wouldn't compromise. And they ended up getting renamed even. You see, the prince of the eunuchs is the one that renamed them. And he named Daniel Belteshazzar. He named Hananiah Shadrach. He named Mishael Meshach. And he named Azariah Abednego. Those four made up their mind they was not going to sacrifice. But now here in this third chapter, they're still standing. I'm not going to go back through that person because I've got a different message I want to get on here in a little bit. But I wanted to share this because I promised I would. Because we had just barely touched on it Thursday night.
Esther got renamed too. I wasn't
hurting. And so, you know, they're still standing firm. They will not compromise. Nebuchadnezzar, the king at that time where they were at, he had a golden image made. Because you see, he was one that worshipped idols. He didn't worship the real God. And he had this golden image made. And he put together musicians to certain times of the day. These musicians would come together and play. And he told everybody that when they would play, they would all have to stop whatever they were doing, bow down and worship this golden image. Well, here in chapter 3, starting here with verse 8, he says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Now they're accusing Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, because they're jealous of them. Because where they had been not compromising with the first part of Daniel, they couldn't understand why the king was letting them get away with it, so they wanted to bring an end to that. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And who falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Anyone that would not bow to this during those times, that's the way they were to be killed, was they was to fall down and worship. They did not do it. They'd be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. See, that's why they were jealous of him, because he had put them over some of them. Because so far, they had Daniel had interpreted his dreams for him and everything, but he still would not bow down and worship his idol gods. And they're telling him, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see, he don't believe in God. This Nebuchadnezzar don't. That's why he's setting all this up. He's wanting things his way, which we see a lot of that going on today. Mankind wanting things their way. That's why they compromise. Well, I can do this, you know, that won't hurt nothing. I don't need to go to church because I need to do this instead. No, you need to go to church. You need to be in church. You need to be in the Word of Almighty God, learning how to walk and live according to God's way and not man's. But we're finding more of them each and every day, walking further and further and further away from the Lord our God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not afraid to answer you. We're going to give you an answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. It don't matter whether you throw us into a fiery furnace or not. If God don't deliver us, we're still not going to compromise. We're not going to serve your gods. Nor worship the golden beast which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was charged against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wrought to be heated. Make it 7 times hotter than it was even supposed to be heated, is what he's commanded. He's really wanting to get rid of them. And he commanded that the most mighty of men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. But they're holding on. They're not going to compromise. Then these men were bound in their coats, the hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That furnace was so hot that this is what happened. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The man that threw them in the furnace was killed. The furnace the heat from that furnace was so hot that it killed the men that threw them in there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast thee three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth the midst of the fire, and the prince, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Killed the one to throw them in there. It sure didn't bother them. Nor was a hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats changed. Nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even have the smell of fire on them. All because they would not compromise and God stayed with them. And that is what we are needing today. We need to quit all this compromising with all this junk that they've got going on out here and stay with God's word, with God's people. And God will not leave you, nor will he let harm come to you. Will it be easy? No. I don't imagine it was very much fun to them to be tied and thrown into that fiery furnace. I don't imagine that was fun at all. But they would not turn against God and compromise. And we need more today that will stand firm upon the word of God. We need our churches coming together, tearing down the walls of all this denominationalism, which is dividing mankind. That's all it's doing. It's dividing mankind, and it's causing a lot of mankind here in our nation to be lost and on their way to hell and the lake of fire, be actually believing that they have eternal life. Think about that. That's exactly what's going on out here, because this is all now being used politically for political purposes. And our preachers are standing and they're preaching against the word of God instead of preaching the word and standing on it. Because they are not willing to take the risk, and they're compromising. Just as I said, most people are doing today, they're compromising different ways and for different things, but yet they're not willing to stand for God. I got company, so I can't go to church. Instead of telling your company, I'm going to church. You can either go with me or you can wait here till I come back. But I'm going to church. I'm not compromising my life for you or no one else. Well, I can't be at church tonight because I've got to work. That can cost you. It can cost you your soul. and it can put you in a lake of fire. Either find you another job or see if you can't work things out in that one to be off during the time for churches so that you can be a part of the work of Almighty God. If they don't want to do that, I'll just compromise. Not many jobs I know of, if you really get in with them and talk with them, won't work with you on that if you're a good worker. Now you need to be a good worker, because then they don't want to lose you. If you're a good worker, they don't want to lose you, so they'll work with you. All right. I wanted to share that with you because I had told you Thursday night I would. I wanted you to see that compromise is not always an easy way. It can cause you problems. It can cause you troubles. But it's going to cause you a lot more than that if you do compromise and do something instead of spending your time with the Lord our God. But tonight, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, I ain't no hurry. So I hope nobody else is in a big hurry. I don't know how long I'll keep you here. I have been known to preach almost 3 hours. I haven't done it lately, but there was a time I preached 2 hours and 45 minutes. I didn't like much, making 3. Because you see, the Spirit and the good Lord, they don't work by our time. But we're going to move into Colossians because this is something we need in order to be able to walk through this life. And you was wondering what your surprise was tonight. Well, you're about to find out here in just a little bit. You're about to be a part of something that most of you has never been a part of. So we're going to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brother in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is starting out here, as he always does, by letting us all know who wrote this letter, what he is, which he is an apostle, and who made him that, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was made that way by the will of God. He lets you have it straight. He don't pull any punches. He gives it to you just as the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, give it to him. You see, a lot of people, they want to proclaim that the Bible is not true. That's like this bill they got out now that they're trying to get through the courts to make the Bible a hate book. That's what our government is trying to do right now. This left that we got in, that's up there in leadership right now, is trying to make your Bible hate speech. They ain't got it through yet. And we need to keep praying that they can't get it through. But they're trying. They've already made us that will tell people we're Christians They've already classed you as a domestic terrorist. You didn't know you was a terrorist, did you, Kenny?
No.
But according to them, you are.
It's the truth.
You're a domestic terrorist. So are you, James. So am I. We're domestic terrorists. Think about it. If we don't wake up and really get into the Word of God and get the Word of God in us and begin living it, making it a living word, we are losing our nation. And we will lose our liberty, our freedom, and our souls. Because how many do you know today that actually, if they tell you you've got to make a choice tonight of taking this mark of the beast, or I'm going to cut your head off, and you know they're going to do it, how many would choose, will you just go ahead and cut my head? Because I ain't taking that mark. You see, that's what all this is about. This vaccine and all is being used to prepare people for that very thing. It's letting them know how easy or how hard it will be to get you to follow whatever they tell you you have to do. And they're not finding it very hard. Not very hard at all. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for all of our churches. All of them. But most especially, those that are causing the division among us. And we all know they are. Even they know they are. They can't deny it. They will. But they can't really, because they can't prove it. But we can, with the Word of God, we can prove. You see, because the Word of God really lets us know. Now, they have used different names for that division. They don't call it division. They call it Catholicism, Protestant, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Church of God, Pentecostal, Church of God of Prophecy.
Was that one he taught? Independent Fundamental.
Yeah, Independent Fundamental Baptist. Calvary Baptist. We know a few of them, don't we, James? Calvary Baptist. And they're good men. But they've been deceived. With a lot of deception. And a lot of the deception that's being used is not really done intentionally for that purpose. When we stop really and think about that, it's not being done for that purpose. Now, verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And we are really to love all of mankind, but more especially, we are to love the saints of Almighty God, which means we are to love each other in the church. And we need to get rid of all these walls between the churches and the church has all come together as one church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his church, the one he had established in the beginning. Instead of all of this division that we've got, which is causing a lot of confusion out there. And this is causing confusion. Because they're only using a very small portion of the Word of God. Because they're taking the rest of it, adding to it, taking away from it, twisting and turning it to make it say what they want it to say, not what it has to say. Our young people today, they don't know what to believe in because there's so much going on around them, and they're coming to a point to where they really not want to believe in anything. They took Jesus out of our schools. Now the things they're wanting to put into the school, this unity of sexuality teaching, they're wanting to put in our schools now. Letting our, and telling our kids, if you want, you're a boy and you want to be a girl, that's all right. You ought to be able to do it. If you're a girl and you want to be a boy, that's fine. You just go ahead and do it. No, it ain't fine. God made you what he wanted you. And he's the only one that could change that, and he didn't. But this is stuff they're putting in our schools today. And they're starting with the grade schools. Way down in the beginning of our school, high schools, and on into college. Until our young people are so mixed up, they really don't know how to stand. And we're losing. Right now, we're losing three generations. You say, what generations are we losing? We're losing most of the generation of my children. Most of my daughter's generation is being lost today. Her children, my grandchildren, are being lost today because they will not go to church. My great-granddaughters, like the one sitting back there, her generation, we're losing most all of them because they have not been taught. Just like the family we had here in the church a time or two, if you remember, the mother and her three kids had two daughters and a son. Here was a young man, 18 years old, and the day she brought him to this church was the first time he had ever been in church. What chance did that young man have to make heaven his home? None. They came a few times, right back out of church they went. I've got kids. My kids, they were raised in church. My daughter will tell you, she was raised in church. Dad may not have been the best dad in the world, but they was took to church and sent to church. And I got one to stand up and tell you today, well, I ain't going to church because I was made go when I was a kid. That's the excuse she used. That's what the Bible says you do. It says to raise your children in the ways of Almighty God. Bring them up in the church. And he said, they'll not depart and stay departed. And that's why we keep praying for them. Pray that they will come back one day. That the Holy Spirit will be able to work with them and bring them back to us. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see, this is where we get the truth. It's from the word of Almighty God, from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we grow. Paul goes on and he tells me, he says, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You're to know in truth. That's why that when I was teaching in the book of 1 Timothy, and I got to the second chapter, I was teaching against women preachers because I was giving you the truth of God's word. Because in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, that scripture tells you, he said, I did not call a woman to teach nor use authority over man. And in the 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, he goes even further and tells her that she's not to even speak up here at all. He said it's a shame for her to speak in the church. Meaning up here, he's not talking about sitting out in the seats before or after church. He's talking about her being up here speaking. He said it's a shame. But what happened about that? They stood in the grocery stores talking about me. Oh, he's wrong. He's wrong. No, there ain't nothing wrong with a women preacher. You see, what they wasn't realizing, they wasn't really talking about me, and they sure wasn't hurting me. They wasn't making me mad, but they sure wasn't doing the Lord any good. And I'll guarantee you they was making him upset. Because they stand there calling him a liar. And that's the way things go. Now, I told you we had a little something for you this evening. And it's time. So, huh? So we're going to bring Kenny up now. And see what God will give us through him. He's going to take up where I leave off.
Well, where did you leave off?
And I left off.
Verse 1.
You can start with verse 7.
Verse 7. All right. How are you all doing? All right. So we are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. So a little about me. I did not grow up Christian. I don't have kids or grandkids, so everything he was talking about, I don't have going on for me, except for people talking about me if I take a stand. Now, if you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to be talked about. In fact, I'm running an online business, and I got told last night, you know, that you should make a different Facebook page for your business, for your online. You know, I didn't tell him so, but I will. Right, that I'm not changing my views and my values, right, to have a business. I mean, God comes first, and that's the way it is. I'm not ashamed of that. And we should never be ashamed of our values and our views, but aligns with God's word. Amen? So we'll pick up here in verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. It's got a bunch of semicolons here, so he's going to keep talking, so I'll read till we get to a period, okay? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible creature, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, lest we forget that part. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is one big statement. So those semicolons, right? So I have to keep reading. All right, so actually that did start back in, my apologies, 7:4-3, actually verse 1 to verse 18. Yes, that's his opening statement. And, you know, there's a lot to cover here. So let's break it down here, verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Christian means Christ-like. So we have to be a servant, not a master. Amen? And we have to teach others. See, because he was a faithful minister of Christ. Now, we must be a faithful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All of us. We must serve him and we must walk with that spirit. Because we are essentially mentors, if you like, or teachers of the truth. Essentially, I think that's what rabbi means, right? A teacher of the truth. And likewise, we also, once we study God's word, we accept it into our hearts, and we live that through our lives, right? Then we can teach by example, right? We live by example. All right, verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. See, this love isn't sex like today. The world wants to turn everything that's love into sex. Well, sex is an important part of a marriage, right? But that's where it stays in the marriage bit, right? And for mankind. But we love one another in the Spirit, because if we are to love our enemies, it's difficult to do that if we don't have that Holy Spirit inside of us. You pretty much can't do that. You're gonna hate others that hate you. But see, we can't win over everyone. I did not grow up Christian. I thought Christians were, right, they couldn't have no fun. And, you know, I would drink and party and lie and cheat. And you know what I mean? I was having a good life, and these people were, you know, they were suffering, right? But I had it the other way around. I was the one who was suffering, but I did not know about the Spirit. that you can love others in the spirit. And you can have that peace inside that passes all understanding that David told us about. So verse 9 here, I'll read a few verses and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Katie. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you. So we're not supposed to stop praying. Elsewhere in the scripture it says, pray without ceasing. It means you pray in the spirit. You're praying for people maybe the Lord will give you through the spirit that you don't know, that you don't will never meet. I mean, Spirit woke me up sometime years ago and had me praying about my second grade teacher. That woman was old, was a cane when I was like 5, right? So I was like, there's no way this woman is still alive. But I was woke up like I was asleep. It's like pouring water on me, waking me up, right? So I did. I got on my knees and I prayed for her. And I did not, so I was trying to tear that apart. Sometimes that's what we like to do. Why do I have to pray for him? I don't like him, right? I don't like her. I don't like the situation, right? I don't want to pray to fix it, right? Sometimes we have an argument with the Lord, right, instead of just obeying. So we must love in the spirit, but we also never stop praying. Sometimes I want God to fix everything that's wrong with other people. A lot of times he ends up fixing us so that we love other people but not love the evil they do. Sometimes we have to have peace in that way, right? We don't have to accept the evil of this world that people do, but we do have to love one another. So a lot of times God seems to like work on me with that, with patience. It's also praying for people that are not like me, don't like me, don't want to hear me. That, right, that there can be a way made for him or her to hear through the Spirit. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? So it's not just about knowledge of his will. So what is God's will for your life? I keep hearing that. I don't know what God's will is. What do I do? Well, you open the Bible and you read it. And it's no, you don't have to go to college, right? You can open God's word, start reading. You want to know what God's will is? It's available. Right? It's the number one produced book on the planet, as far as I know. There's more Bibles printed than any other book. So, but we see that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Wisdom's about knowing when to speak about what. Right? Speaking isn't always, see, Jesus was falsely accused. He could have said, no, that's not true. So he could have said something he didn't. So speaking is not always the best thing to do. So we need that wisdom. But we have to couple that with spiritual understanding. When I first became a Christian, I didn't realize the devil was speaking. Then I was speaking and God, the Spirit would speak. And I would say things that made no sense. There wasn't any truth to it. There wasn't anything backing it. And I had to learn that. That's that spiritual understanding part. Because the enemy, right, he is a fallen angel, the devil. Okay? Satan is a fallen angel. He's an imitator, not a duplicator, right? Imitator, not a duplicator. That's important to understand that. See, I had to learn that. And this walking with the Spirit thing takes time. You're not going to learn it by lunch tomorrow. It's going to take a minute. But you have to continue to grow in your faith, and you have to continue to study God's Word each and every day. So I'll read a few more verses, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Tony. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So this is why you've got to study God's Word. What pleases God? What are the six things God hates? And the seventh is an abomination. Do we know those things? Then we got to know what God hates, because the enemy's not going to tell you that. The devil's not going to tell you what God hates. And what is an abomination? And what is an abomination today? Believe me, the media is out there doing every single day, and that is creating strife with the people, with the brethren. That is the number one thing the enemy loves to do. You know, if you're black, are you the right kind of black, or white, or are you the right kind of white? You know what I mean? All these things, it's creating division, right? When I always get called racist or fascist or whatever names people call me today, see, that is creating strife among the brethren, right? So the devil wants us all divided so we hate each other, right? If we're all standing holding hands with each other, where's the hate? We don't need the media, do we? We're holding hands, hugging each other. We're not killing people worldwide. There's no more lies, deception. See, we can stand together in truth, but we have to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Not pleasing this world, not your family, not your church, right? We don't walk to please people. We walk to please unto the Lord. And don't get that confused. I didn't say hate people, right? We don't walk to please mankind. We walk to please Jesus Christ. Amen? According to his word. So, being fruitful in every good work. There's a lot of stuff we got to do here in Colossians. It's a pretty tough chapter here, right? You got to know what to do, and then you got to do it. It's not an easy thing. This Christian life is a work. And there's a church here not far away. They'll have you in front of the church, right? The church will have you. You got salvation. So you don't have to do nothing. You just go home. Go get some supper and go home. You got salvation. There's people that teach that. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to work, right? You don't have to share the gospel with anybody, right? You don't have to change how you live. You just show up for meetings. Well, that's not what I'm reading here. Is it you? Anybody else? Colossians chapter 1, you know, verse 10, looks like we got to do some work. Be fruitful in every good work. So it's not only we got to work, we also have to be fruitful. Right? There's got to be some results from your work. Like I work, I drive a truck. Well, I got to do a good job or I don't get paid. Right? So I have to be fruitful. If I'm not fruitful, I don't get no paycheck. Right? So, and then I can't eat. So likewise, with us, with our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to become fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. So you're never going to stop learning, even Pastor K.D. Tony. He's always learning something new because God's teaching him something new. He's been walking with God since 1966. For the record, I was born in 1968. So Ryan, I'm 53, so that'd be 55 years. You still learn. You should always be learning something new that you didn't know. And to do that, you got to study God's word every day. Otherwise, you won't know. You're never going to stop. You stop learning. It's not God stop teaching you. But you have to be willing to accept that. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. So that's where we get our strength to stand. So like Pastor Tony was saying, well, hey, I'm not giving in. You can cut off my head. Now, are you strong enough for that? Yeah, I don't know. I pray so. I pray I'm strong enough for that. Amen? So we have to be strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power. It's his power, not ours. I'm not standing up here preaching the truth on my power. This is not my word. I took a nap this afternoon. I had no idea what he was going to teach on. So I didn't, how can I study something I don't know? See, I teach like he does through the Spirit. I have no clue where we're going to teach. And you should know God's word. It's his word, not mine. So I don't do lesson planning because where's he going to have me at next Sunday? I don't know. And that's the thing. You got to teach through the Spirit. He's got to teach. You're just a vessel, right? Just a vessel. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Boy, can't we just get rid of that long suffering part? I don't like to hurt. I don't like being hungry, right? I don't want to be broke, right? I don't want to suffer. I don't like that part. Can we just take that part out of God's word? Long suffering? I don't like that. That's not nice. See, that's the part we don't like. We want to cut out of God's word what's not comfortable. But I can tell you, that through long suffering, it's not just suffering, it's long suffering. Right? It creates patience. We have to have unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. See, we have joy. Through trials and tribulations, they create a better us. We don't necessarily like going through those things, but we're constantly reminded through God's word, right, that we must be thankful for difficult times. That's the hard part to accept, right? We want the hard times just to be out of the way so we can party, right? We can have the money and the wealth and right? We get to the finish line. We like that part, right? We don't like the hard part. We just want the easy part. All right, I'll do two more verses and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Tony. Verse 12, give me thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh my gosh, what's a saint again? A saint is a born-again child of the living God, been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, right, and is walking humbly with God's word. Amen? That's what a saint is. It's not the New Orleans Saints football team, okay? It's not your high school mascot, and they can be called saints. There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's just a little slightly different take on the word saints. So giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. Now what does meet mean? It means together, as one. Amen? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That light is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get down to the book of Revelation, you'll find out there's no darkness in heaven. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. Amen? All right. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? So God delivers. And a lot of times, and this is the last time I taught on YouTube, I was here on Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 is the systematic breakdown of mankind. When we stop giving thanks to God for, I don't know, you get up out of bed. I had an uncle that he fell down getting out of bed. He had stroke. And he never walked again. But that man was humbled by that. He was the most humble man I remember meeting as a child. Godly man. But this thing with delivered from the power of darkness, we have to be willing to follow God. And it may look like a brick wall, like we were, Pastor Tony was talking about Daniel there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have seen nothing but the end. Right? It's easy to see, I have no money, so I'll lay down and die. I don't know a way out. I can't see a way out, so I should quit. You know, this mask mandate's on there, so I got to do it. I don't have a choice. Right? You got to take a vaccine. I don't have a choice. Life is full of choices. You don't have to give in to the demands of this world. Amen? God will deliver you from the power of darkness. But you have to stand firm on his word. And you have to be willing to obey. Right? Because the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. If you want to eat good, you want to raise, you want more money, you want better things in life, whatever the abundance it is that you're looking for, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Well, that comes from God. Amen? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, what does translated mean? When I translate a language, it's now you get full understanding, right? So if this is translated into Russian or German or something, this message will be understood by people who do not speak English. Amen? So, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that would be Jesus Christ. Amen? So when we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? That's how you pray. You don't pray in Jesus' name. You pray in the name of the Father. And when you close it out, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. You're not praying to Jesus. Just want to clear that up. That's an important part of prayer. All right. Praise God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Tony. Verse 14 here, Pastor. That's where I left off. Or you can rehash whatever you like.
Was kidding. You see, tonight is what you call, this service is called a round robin. That's the name of this service. The first time that I was ever in a round robin, I was young in the ministry. In the first church that God had me pastor, and he had me in a church where I was totally out of my culture. Because he put me in a black church. I was the only white man there, and I'm in a southern black church.
Hallelujah.
In the state of Florida. In Tampa, Florida. And that church had been only having services once a month because they didn't have a pastor. But there was a pastor that would come over from Lakeland, from his church, and hold service with them once a month when they took me in there as pastor of that church. I've been there just 2 weeks. And this is my first church. In fact, I hadn't been to ministry but about 4 or 5 weeks. Well, a little longer than that. I guess about 6, 7 weeks. Because the first thing God had me do, you see, God, he knows. We don't, but he does. When I accepted the call to the ministry, 2 weeks from that day, he had me 1,200 miles away from home, holding a revival. Now, a lot of people think God don't have a sense of humor, but he does. Because where he had me holding this revival, I didn't know anyone there. I wasn't even met when I got there. In fact, the night services was supposed to start when I got to the church. I opened the church doors. There wasn't no one there. No one. When it got time for the services, there were two people came in, a man and a woman. Sat down about halfway in the church. Still no pastor, no deacon, nobody from the church had met me. Got time for services. I went on with the services. Had no idea of anything at all about the church. Only the area where it was at, because it was here in Louisville, at Market and Floyd Street, which is not a good area, by the way. It's one of the rough areas of Louisville. And on top of that, like I said, no one but me. Health services closed out, went back to where I was staying. Next night I get there, same thing. I still ain't met nobody. Third night, I get there. Still nobody there, but that night there was three people come in. The two that had been coming, and they had a young girl with them, about your age. And the Lord started working with her. And he was using her. Now, I had been raised in a hard shell Baptist church. Been taught all my life. The gifts of the Spirit don't work. They all died when the apostles died. They died. The healing and all that, it's gone. That's why you don't see it going on in your denominational churches today. Because that's what they teach. It's gone. Well, it's true, it's gone. But the only reason it's gone is because they ain't got backbone enough to stand up and use it. And get in God's word and get right with him. Anyway, I start my message, and I'm going along with the message. The Spirit spoke to that young lady and said, young lady, come forward. I'm looking around, see who's talking beside me. I ain't seen nobody. She got up and come up there. I didn't know anything to do with it. So I just went back preaching my message. I left her standing there. A few minutes, Spirit spoke again. Said, young lady, you've got a demon of epilepsy. Uh-oh. I've just been told that don't happen now. Them things don't exist anymore. That all died when the apostles died. I just go back to preaching. Still leaving her standing there. I spoke a few words back to my message again. The Spirit spoke, called that demon out. I saw it when it come out. Needless to say, I'm one shook up dude. She turned and started back to her seat. And when she turned out of the aisle to go into her seat, I seen it go back to her. I still don't know what's going on or nothing. I'm way out of my league. Oh, I'm going to hurry up now, though, because I'm shook up, and I'm going to hurry up, and I'm going to get everything closed out. Well, that didn't work. The Spirit spoke to her and told her, said, young lady, you've got to come back forward. I found out later that was her uncle and her mother she was with. They wouldn't let her come. Spirit spoke to her and told her, said, young lady, if you don't come forward, you'll be in the hospital before tomorrow night. Now, that's really got me shook up. Here I am, 1,200 miles away from home in a church. I don't know nobody. But this time I did find out that it also was a black church. I'm standing in a black church, some other man's church, telling one of them they're going to be in the hospital if they don't come back, get a demon cast out. Something I didn't even believe in. Because I've been told all my life they didn't exist no more. Anyway, they wouldn't let her come. I got closed out. The next night, I get to church, I open the door, and they were standing room only in that church. In fact, they were standing around the walls. There wasn't no one empty seat. And that's a good-sized church. You can go up there today and see that church. I still ain't met nobody from this church. I come on up on the podium and asked them, I said, we got any preachers in here tonight? Hands going up different places. And I told them, I said, y'all belong up here with me, not out there. I ended up with 9 sitting up there with me. Had an old man sitting next to me. Like I sit here in this chair. Then he had another younger, pretty good size, man sitting next to him. I got sort of my message. He was shouting, tell to him, Brother Tony, tell to him. He got to rock in that chair. I heard a round racket, and I turned and looked, and he had rocked full over backwards. Young man sitting next to him just reached and got him, set him up. About that time, the front door opened up. This girl's mother come running down the aisle. Brother Tony, can you come and go to the hospital with me after services? My daughter's in the hospital, they don't know whether she's going to live or die. That voice that spoke to her and said, no, you were warned. To this day, I don't know whether that young lady lived or died. But I do know that God used her to fill that church. I couldn't get that. I was only to be there a week. Revival. Took me 30 days. I had to call my wife at home in Florida and get her to wire me money because I had spent all my money. After the night that I got, was preaching my last service, when I got done, the old gentleman that was sitting beside me that had went over backwards, he comes to me, he said, Brother Tony, you met the pastor of this church? That night I was on the message of women in church. I said, no. Deacon or nobody else. He said, you're kidding. I said, no. I have not met anyone from this church that I know of that was from this church. Well, I haven't met the pastor or no deacon or nothing. He said, well, come on, I'm going to introduce you to the pastor. The pastor, when I asked for the preachers, didn't even join them and come up on the platform with them and me. But he takes me out there and introduced me to the pastor. And he introduced me to one of the prettiest little colored gals you ever seen. She was pastor of the church. I just got through telling her she had no business being there. She looked up at me and she said, you know, I didn't know that was in there. I looked at her and the Spirit said, well, you know it now. I got home 2 weeks after I got home. I got a letter from her. She told me, she said, Brother Tony, she said, I'm no longer pastor of the church. My fiance is also a minister. She said he was my associate pastor. He is now the pastor of the church. See, God knows what he's doing. And when it comes to women, that's like several of them around Brandenburg said, Brother Tony, he's against women. No, I'm not. I wish I had a church for it. I do. I wish we had 15 or 20 women here to where they could have a woman's night. But you see, women can teach women. That's the lady's job. The scripture itself tells her the older ladies are to teach the younger ladies how to treat their husbands, how to raise their children, how to take care of the house. That's her job. And then she is to tell others outside the church about the Lord Jesus Christ. They can come to me and talk to me and tell me about Jesus outside the church. It's in the church where they're not up here. It's where they're not supposed to be. No, I'm not against them. Wish I had a bunch of them. And if you two ladies would get to work for the Lord, we might get a few more in here. And I know B talks to you. Yeah, I know she does. And you work with a bunch of ladies. You ought to get some of them to come to church with you. I'll come and get them. They don't even have to drive out here. I'll come and get them. But we are all supposed to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just certain places, certain times that we are to do certain things. But we are to do it God's way. That's why he tells us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, let everything be done decently and in order. God has things orderly. And he has them all set up. And when we go to the Lord and we ask him into our lives, he's already got a plan for us. We just have to find out what that plan is. Sometimes it takes a long time. You know, it wasn't easy for me, like I said, because the church I was raised in, I had been taught a lot of things that were wrong. Because me, I was a long time, actually, even knowing that I needed to be filled with the Spirit. Even though at times I was preaching, the Spirit was with me and speaking through me, I didn't know he was supposed to live in me, so he wasn't. He'd just by me. But then he'd leave me. You see, these are things we have to know and how to receive from God the things that we all need. Young lady over here in Akron, she's one of my services. After service was over, she said, well, you had a good service. She said, but I got a question. I said, well, I'll answer it if I can. She said, why is it that I can't understand things in the scripture and really concentrate on what's being said? And she was proclaiming to be a Christian. And Spirit spoke to me and told me, he said, asked her how she was baptized. I did. Asked her, I said, hon, how were you baptized? She told me. I told her, I said, that's your problem. You haven't been baptized right. You need to be re-baptized. You ought to hear the things she said about me. And she's the one that called one of my members to come in here that's been with me actually from way back and told him, you need to get back here to the church and get away from him. He told her, he said, I just won't go to church no more, and he quit.
What the devil wants.
Yeah. It's exactly what the devil wants. We all are supposed to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn it at church. And we need the young people today working with us and working in the church and working with the church to keep their generation from being lost, because they are being. I talk to a lot of young men out here, and they'll talk about, well, you know, so-and-so makes me mad. I can just blow him away. Well, what if he blows you away? Well, I'm just gone. No, you're not. You're just going to hell. And then you're going to wind up in that lake of fire. But they don't know, because they're not being taught. And being taught the right thing. And we are using so much, misusing, seeing so much of this word of God misused in our churches. Do you speak in tongues?
Well, I have.
Do you believe in speaking in tongues? James, you believe in speaking in tongues? Yeah, so do I, and do. I pray a whole lot of tongues. But our churches are even misusing that.
Yeah.
The churches that really go for tongues, which is your Pentecostal, your Church of God, mainly. You go in, that's all you hear. This is about stuff jabbering. That's about stuff jabbering. This over here. Preacher trying to preach and they're jumping up and going off in tongues. Word said don't do that. Word tells you not to do it. In fact, the word tells you that if that's what's going on and someone comes in that's new, you are a barbarian to them. And you'll cause them to leave before they ever get a chance to even find out, you know, what's going on. We're told that in the church, not just say you can't speak in tongues, but it's to be done in order. And he tells you, he said, let it be by two or three at the most, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, then keep quiet. Don't do it. And that's God's word, not mine. And you know, it's not head. It's not head at all. In fact, you find it right here in 1 Corinthians. Now, 14th chapter. I'll share this with you and we'll get ready and close in a minute because I have kept you a little long tonight. Now, let's start here with 26.
14th chapter what?
1 Corinthians 14th chapter. This also will give us a little something at the same time what I was telling you ladies about ladies. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You see, tongues were given to you and I for our self-edification. In the church, we are to prophesy. In other words, we are to speak as we are speaking, to where it's understanding. That's the whole thing. All right, now. But, and it goes on down, just so you know, I wasn't lying to you about the ladies. He goes on here and he says, for you may all prophesy one, all may learn, and all may be confronted, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches. How many churches? What churches? All churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out of you, or came it into you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You see, I don't teach you something that's not the truth of God's word. And he's telling you, you don't stand up and all two-thirds of the church trying to speak in tongues and all to interrupt the service and cause people to leave. But he says, if there's someone that's got a message that God's gave them and they're going to speak in tongues, let it be by two or three at the most. And then let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, then he's to keep his mouth shut too. He's not. He's supposed to be silent.
That's the problem with your Pentecostal churches. When I became a Christian, that's where I started. And I that's the reason why I left, is they're just talking a bunch of junk. But
yep.
Nobody was saying one in a minute.
We got one on television right now. They'll be preaching about halfway through. He'll want them all to pray, he'll tell them. All right, everybody stand now. They'll all raise up. Come on now, everybody talk in your heavenly language. He's wanting them all to stand there and talk in tongues. The Bible tells him no. And tells him even why. So there's really no excuse for it at all.
Yeah, that's a big turn off the people. That's what drove me away. A lot of people make fun of it and mock it, and it's, you know.
Well, here's exactly what God says about it. I'll share this, then we will close. Now, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel in the edifying of the church. When we go to church, we're to edify the church. That means they are to know what we've got to say. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanksgiving, he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, this is Paul speaking, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He letting them know I'm not against tongues. I speak tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words, with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Five words is better than 10,000 when used wrong. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? They think you're crazy. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see, God tells us how to conduct our worship services. What should be in them or what shouldn't, and how it should be done. But we're not seeing that today. You know. And they've taken so much out of this word. You'd be surprised just how much mankind has taken out of the Word of God. One of these days, I've been praying about it, and I'm praying that one of these days, God will let me show with a service just how much of this Bible our churches has done away with. And I'm talking about our main churches today. How much of this they've done away with that they don't teach no more.
Much of it.
Huh?
Much of it.
Yeah. I'm praying that one of these days he'll give me that service and let me
teach
it.
Huh? Or take less time to teach what they do teach.
Well, more than likely. I want to see what has been taken out, because the things that's been taken out is exactly what the church is in need of in order to make it go. We need the nine gifts of the Spirit back in the church. That's what makes the church. Without those gifts in the church, you don't have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have it. And the scripture tells you that. But they don't want to admit it. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to get together to learn your word. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more so than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land that had no excuse whatsoever, that has took the Lord Jesus out of every place he was in, that is trying right today to destroy the church and your people. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with us and help us to remove those that are in office that are against you, that are against the church and against your people, Father, and against the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to replace them with people that will stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, for your church and for your people, and that will work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance for the evil it has brought upon its people, so that it can be healed and that our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list, as each name is called, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, will touch that one, fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, James Taylor, my daughter, Cindy, my granddaughter, Father, my great-granddaughter, that's here with us tonight. For Amy. For Amy's husband, Tom. For Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. Carrie Coates. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina. The brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, that come from different walks of life. Father, when they come together, bring them together in one mind, one accord, and that being in Jesus. For the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. For this young man that was ordained into the ministry a year ago, Father Will, my prayer for him, Father, is that he, his teacher, has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Orion, Father, these all, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, for each and every family that hears this message, for my wife's family, for my family, Father. Now, Father, walk among these families and those that are walking in darkness, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit can turn them, lead them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Montvillo, and Sharon's mother, for Sue, for Palins, for Casey Smith, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. And my wife, Father, we thank you for that healing power and the work that you're doing there with her. We thank you so greatly, Father. Help us to always lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with praise, honor, and glory. Because, Father, it is by his stripes that we are healed. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate and go our own ways, we ask you to be with us. Keep us all safe and in the hollow of your hand. Help us, Father, along the pathway of righteousness. Build our faith strong so that we stand, Father, and that we don't give in to any of the whims of Satan, but that we'll always walk strong with Jesus. And it's in his sweet, precious name we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right. Thank you.